This is really one of the most important aspects of our church life, the missions conference. I give this testimony just about every single year, usually around our anniversary time, that within about the first month that we started Pimento Valley Baptist Church, our church took on a missionary. It's been our practice there in the early days. What we had to do is we actually had to pay missionaries to come because nobody was just passing through Winkler. They would go through Winnipeg and head on west, but I had to actually encourage folks to come, and I'd actually call missionaries and say, look, we'd like to have you come. And that's changed through the years to now where we're having to say, we're full. We can't have you this month, and so on. And that's a nice problem to have. But at the same time, I believe that one of the reasons why God has blessed us is because we have supported what God supports, and that is the spread of the gospel. And that's really why we are in existence. It's great to have our fellowships, it's great to have other programs, but we do that all to see souls saved, as well as our primary purpose is really to give out the gospel around the world. And that's what we seek to do. Faith Promise Mission Offering, not a lot of people are aware of exactly how it operates. And so I want to just take a few moments in the message tonight, and I want to just really handle the Faith Promise Mission Offering. And I know it's a bit of a change of focus as we have been going through on Sunday nights, but I just really feel impressed to do this. Now, even before I trusted Christ as Savior, my folks being saved when I was about 7 or 8 years of age, they had started getting involved in church, and then when we moved to Germany, you know the story there where there were three missionaries there that had started coming over to our house, and then we went to rented facilities, and I'm just a boy, of course, and I'm taking all this in, and we met missionaries. We met a missionary, the Dick family from Saskatchewan, that were missionaries in Austria, and we spent some time with them. I remember as a boy being at their house, and that's where I learned to play the piano with one finger, bringing in the sheaves. You want me to play it for you? I will spare you. I don't know if I had to remember it. No, I do remember it. But at the same time, I had some early memories of missionaries, and they were always good memories of missionaries. And, you know, I tell younger preachers, I don't consider myself an old preacher by any stretch of the imagination, but yet at the same time when I look of how much water's gone under the bridge, I realize that I'm not the youngest on the block anymore. But I tell younger preachers when they're starting the church that if the preacher doesn't talk about money, no one else will. And that's a subject that we like to avoid as preachers because of the criticism that we receive. It doesn't matter what you drive, you get criticized as a preacher, especially when it's coming to money. One of the things I've always mentioned here at the church is whenever we talk about missions giving, that's an easier topic to discuss when it comes to the subject of money, because it's not something that you spend on yourself. It's not money that's spent around here. It's money that's given to missions. And so that's a little bit easier to discuss, but there are still a few cynics out there that would try to discount really the value and the importance of money in a Christian's life. And so I'm going to share a couple things that I've never shared before, and that's not to have a bragamony. I trust you won't see it this way, but I remember what Brother Sandlin said, Mike, you're not a young preacher anymore, and if you don't tell some people, then who's going to? And so I hope to have this more or less in the beginning part of this message like a testimony kind of time. And I sure did appreciate John's testimony. I didn't even know all that. He does make us new, doesn't he? Missions has been such an integral part of my life even before I trusted Christ, as I said. And I've been privileged to travel some 20 different mission fields. It's not a lot by some standards, I'm sure. I think Tom Wallace has been to almost 100 mission fields. Now, depending on what you might Google and the current state of world affairs, they say, by some accounts, that there's about 196 different countries in the world today. But you know, as I've gone to the various mission fields, I have seen various needs. I've witnessed a lot of different people groups, and I'm always struck with the great need of people to receive the gospel. Even if you travel North America, you know, and I've had the privilege of traveling a little bit more in recent years and preaching in various places throughout our land, throughout the United States, and I see needs everywhere. I remember years ago when Mark Rasmussen and I, who is a good friend of mine and he's preached here, he and I had a chimney sweep business together. I know that's hard to believe. You think I'm wearing a bow tie, I used to wear a top hat and tails. Yes, amen. But I remember when we had that chimney sweep business, I'd find myself driving down the road and looking at rooftops. And the reason I was looking for rooftops is because I was noticing whether they had a chimney or not, and that they burned wood, or that they had a cap on that chimney. There in the Chicago area, I'd actually have families call me, and they'd want me to come out with my gear on and just take a picture with their children to send it back to mom and dad in Europe. And just interesting times. What I'm trying to say is it's amazing how you see things. I'm sure, and I'm putting words in Juan's mouth, but Juan's into flooring. I imagine when he walks into a house, that's probably one of the first things he notices. Usually mechanics, the first thing they notice is that little tick in the motor. Doesn't that tick you off? No. Wow. When you travel around for the cause of Christ, you notice the great need. And the more adept you get and the more burden you get and the closer to the Lord you get, I believe you take on more of His heart. And I believe that you see some of the great needs. My testimony is that I've given to missions since I was a teenager. I don't think you're ever too young to begin to give. But even before Brenda and I started dating, I gave to missions. And I just asked her the other day, and she was giving to missions as well, but I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to stand up here and give any lies, you know. And so I remember that I was given about $10 per week to Faith Promise as a teenager. I worked a job. I worked a couple of jobs. And so my senior year, I was able to work, go to school half day, and then I worked a construction job as a helper, as a gopher. And then I cleaned some, at that time, Commerce Union banks. They're called SunTrust now in the Murfreesboro area. I cleaned some banks in the evening. And so I had some income, and so I began to give to missions, about $10 per week. And then when Brenda and I got married, we started giving not only the $10 a week, and we sort of just combined our resources, of course, and then we took on a missionary by the name of Bill Griffin. Brother Griffin has preached here in the early days of the church. He's in heaven now. I haven't heard from Doris in the last couple of years, but there for a while after Bill had passed away, we continued as Brenda and I to support them. And then she finally let us know. She said, "Look, I don't want your money anymore. Give it to somebody else who needs it." But when we take a missionary on, we don't just take the man on, we take the family on. So it doesn't matter what happens to the mate, we continue to support that one. But it was through Bill Griffin's ministry that during that week in a missions conference, my wife surrendered to missions, and he stayed in my home, and I have two sisters, and I'm the only son, and so consequently, whenever a guest would come over, guess where I went? I went to the floor in the other room, and the guest got my room, and so he had my bed, but I can remember him taking an interest in me, and he just sat down, talked with me on a couple of occasions there, no one else around, and he just chatted with me. It wasn't really, I could say, a spiritual discussion, but he just spent time with me, and I appreciated that. I've always respected him for that. and it made an impact in my life. And so we have supported missionaries. Through the years, we've increased our faith promise. I remember when Charles Keene came through here, he said, everybody doing something and everybody doing a little more than they did the year before. I thought, that's good. And through God's grace, my wife and I have continued to give to Faith Promise to where now we give about $180 a week to Faith Promise missions. Now, to some of you, that may not seem like a whole lot. And I can't say that that's something that I really miss, because I'm privileged to give that. We are privileged to give that. And I can't really say that as I look back at my life that we're missing that money. And I think only eternity will reveal the good that's been done. And when we think about Faith Promise missions, we're not talking about our tithe. We're not talking about other offerings. We're talking about over and above our tithes and our offerings. And so I'm giving testimony of God's grace in our life. And I'm also trying to provoke you tonight in this matter of Faith Promise giving. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, and you don't have to turn there because I'm going to be making reference to several, then we'll settle in a place. The Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And as I said before, if we preachers don't talk about money, who's going to? And I don't believe in asking someone else to do something that we're not willing to do. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and following, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Did you get that last verse? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's a sad state of affairs that we're so concerned more about our earthly goods than we are laying up treasures in heaven. And we're going to spend a great deal more time in heaven than we ever will here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2, Paul says, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. So that's what was going on as you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and you look at these passages of Scripture that we've heard many times in light of Faith Promise, and we say, wow, you know, they gave a lot. They gave out of their deep poverty and the abundance of their joy, but they were givers. And Paul went around telling other people what the church of Corinth had promised. And because they had promised so much and they were going through so much, he used that testimony as he went around trying to get other churches and other individuals to say, hey, we can do that too. You know, sometimes people are afraid to really stick their neck out because they're afraid that maybe somebody's going to misjudge their motive. I can just say from experience that your motives are always going to be misjudged by world or carnal Christianity. Doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what you say. I remember going through some things some time ago, and I was talking to Mark Bowman, and he was pastoring, I think in Southern Ontario, maybe he was still in Steinbach, and he said, Mike, your friends don't need an explanation, and your enemies wouldn't believe it even if you told them and showed them the proof. And so you have to just do the will of God, and you have to follow the Lord's leading in your life, and you can't be concerned about the naysayers. Amen? And so I'm saying that in the matter of our giving. The fact of the matter is, the Faith Promise mission offering is a privilege and an honor. It was missions that gave our forefathers those who would bring them the gospel. I mean, it was missions that brought them the gospel, and then it's been passed on to us. So what if you have to live in a smaller house? And you know what? I don't live in a small house. So what if you have to drive an older car? and take shorter vacations. But you know, giving to God doesn't mean that that's always going to be the case. It may mean that. And I don't think we should try to doctor it up any other way. It could very well mean that when you give to God's work, you won't have all the blessings that you envision down here or the faith, name it, and claim it people try to get you to believe. You may seek to be obedient in the matter of giving in your tithes as God has commanded, and you might blow the engine in your car the next week and say, well, I guess giving to God doesn't work. That has no bearing on it whatsoever. God tells you to tithe, and you're to tithe. And so you give to God. You don't give for something in return. And so what if you have to take a shorter vacation or a holiday? And I'm not saying that you'll have to do that. It could very well be that when you begin giving, God will in turn begin blessing and give you monetary things and give you new things. And that's His business. That's not my business. That's nobody else's business. That's between you and Him. And if He does that, great. But it could also mean that maybe you'll have to lower your standard of living so that you can continue to give to God's work to get the gospel out. And so we have to look at that in that light. For biblical missions to work, it takes a local church, it takes obedient people, it takes prayer, and it takes sacrificial giving. My wife and I are privileged to have 8 children. And yet we've increased our giving and we have fared pretty well. And I'm looking at people that God has used to help us. I had a man in the church in the early days that every single year he'd buy me 4 new tires and stick it on my car. They didn't want any slap on the back for it. He doesn't want me to call his name out. But I believe that as you give, God will supply other ways and in other means. And I'm standing here as a testimony of God's grace, and I'm standing before people that have been awful good to me. And I think God has used you to prove Himself. He's met, I say, when we pray in our family devotions, so many times I say, Lord, thank you for supplying all of our needs and so many of our wants. You've sent us as a church family to Alaska. I'd never go and spend that money myself. But you've helped us do that. I think that's the grace of God. I'm not saying that if you give to Faith Promise Missions that that's going to happen to you, or we'd all be lined up here. But at the same time, what I am saying is God somehow, and I can't explain how, and I wish I could stand up here and say that you give this and you'll have this happen, and you give this and this will happen, and so on. And I can't say that, but I do know under the authority of the Word of God that God says He'll take care of you. I don't know how He'll do it, but He will. And I want to just take a few moments here, and I've taken faith, promise, mission, offering, and that's my outline. Number one, it takes faith. One thing I've never done here in the history of the church, regardless of what the blog says, is I've never counted the offering of the church. I'm talking about even in the evangelistic services that were held October the 21st through the 24th of 1988, I didn't even count the offering then. And I haven't counted an offering yet of this church. And yet I have found that we as a church, that our God can be trusted. And God has met our every need. And we need to just trust Him. We need to have faith in Him. And one thing I've done as a pastor is I've never looked at the giving of church people. I don't want to know what people give. And to be quite honest with you, I don't really pay attention to what we give in the offering. I don't even really want to know that because I don't want my mind to center my attention on what I could be doing with the dollars we give to God. Maybe the higher standard of living we could have. So it's best for me not even to let my mind go there. And as I know what our tithe is and I know what our faith promise is, I just don't dwell on that stuff. because I know the weakness of the flesh, my flesh anyway, and I might be thinking I could be doing this with that. I could be doing this with that. And folks, Jesus Christ saved us. And so whatever he lays on our heart to give, we just need to give it and just trust him for the results, whatever they might be. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Notice that. Without trusting him, I'm talking about where you're not always going to see how you're going to do it. You're not always going to see the end. But he sees the end. And he says right here, without faith, without trust in him, it's impossible to please God. So this offering has nothing to do with your background. This offering has nothing to do with your circumstance or your ability. This offering is based upon your faith in God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll begin reading here in verse 1. And I want to make this statement. You have faith to give what God has placed upon your heart to give. And you give that to missions, trusting him to meet the rest of your need. It's not a matter of making a promise and saying, I'm going to trust God to bring in my faith promise. No. God lays, because you've been praying and seeking his face, he lays an amount on your mind and on your heart. And just as you write the tithe check, you write the faith promise, and you write any other offering check that you make, and then you say, I'm going to trust God to meet the rest of my needs. But what we normally do is we figure out all of our bills and so on, and that's half of our problem, and then we want to throw God a quarter. We want to give him a tip, and we need to give to him first. In verse 1 it says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he had also finished in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." So what we're talking about here in this matter of giving is a grace. We don't deserve to be involved in this. He lets us be involved in this. And he says, he goes here in verse 8, "I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." In other words, the thing about this faith promise is, it's not something you have to do, people. Tithing, God demands it. Tithing was before the law. Tithing was in the law. And Jesus said, "These ye ought to have done and not left the other undone," Matthew 23:23. And so we see that tithing continues on. And that's how God uses to supply the needs of the temple as well as what we would say today, the local church. That's something he has to. He gives us 100% and he says, "I want you to give me 10%. And so we do that. But when it comes to this kind of giving, this is giving that you determine to do on your own. This is not something he's going to force you to do. This is something you pray and say, "God, what do you want me to do?" And he tells you. He goes on to say, he says in verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice." That's what this message is tonight. I don't want anyone to leave here thinking the preacher's climbed our case tonight. or man, he sunk his hand deep in my pocket tonight. I don't want that. Because the Lord says, he's just given, this is a grace that you can get involved in if you want to. And Paul says, I'm going to give you some advice. He says, for this is expedient, this is good for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that is, there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. So what he was saying here, he says, look, you made some promises, you made a commitment, it's from year to year, and he says, so now, instead of, you remember the promise, now it's time to pay up, now it's time to give. How many times have we walked an aisle, made a promise, and then gone back on it? And that's what Paul was telling this church. It says, you know, a year ago, you heard about this need of the poor saints in Jerusalem, and so you said, hey, we'll give it this, we'll give this. And he says, now that Titus is coming to get that offering, you need to give it because he needs it. And he says this in verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. And that's, I think, critical to the way the explanation of faith promise is. Some people believe you make a promise and then you trust God to give you that money every week. And if God doesn't give you that money throughout the week, then you don't have to give it. No, it says here, you made a promise out of that which you have. You can't give something you don't have. So what you do is you give to God and then you trust him to meet the other needs that you might have. And that's the way faith promise works. But you know what it takes? It takes faith. I ask this question, how much faith do you have in God? Number two is the promise. Okay, we have faith, and now number two is the promise. Since this is a church effort, then everybody joins in and pulls their promises together to fulfill the Great Commission, found in one particular place in Mark chapter 16, in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look again at verses 10 through 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. In other words, they made a promise, and so now you need to perform it. And then you have the praise. I like that. You have the promise, you perform it from what you have, and then praise. Praise the Lord. And so you have to make that commitment. And that's what we do, is from year to year, we have our faith promise commitments. Now, I'll say this about our church. And I think some of this is because of our backgrounds. And most churches, when they do their faith promise, and there's thousands of them that do, it's a well-known plan. I guess Oswald J. Smith is one of the most famous Canadians that made this program popular, I guess you could say, and made it well-known, pulling the principles out of the Word of God. And it is a principle found in the Word of God. You have Abraham and Isaac. That was a faith promise. The Lord himself shall provide a sacrifice, and he did. They went and they gave, and what happened is God provided the sacrifice. But he didn't. God provided a sacrifice. Hannah as well is another example. So we have many examples of the faith promise principle in the Word of God. And this has been used to give literally millions of dollars to missions around the world to see souls saved. This particular principle being instituted in our churches. So it's so important. It's so vital here. So we find here the promise. What you do, and like I said, a lot of churches they'll have their faith promise, and let's just use the figures because it's a nice round number of $100,000. And what they'll normally do is they'll plan their missions budget at about $80,000. The reason is because not everybody fulfills their commitment. And so what the church does is they allot for usually about 20% or 15% that won't come through. So they do their budget that way. Our church has never had to operate on that basis. Our church has always been, as our last business meeting pointed out, we've always given more than what our faith promise commitment was. And I think a lot of that is the background where you're not supposed to, as some people say, the left hand shouldn't know what the right hand's doing and that kind of thing. And Then some people say, well, you should never make a commitment or promise. And I always flip that around and say, you know, the Lord says, if you make a vow to God, defer not to pay it. So it's okay to promise God things. We'll promise the banker things. We'll buy our houses. We'll promise our boss things. We'll make commitments like that, but we won't commit anything to God because, oh, that's not right. That's not right. That thinking's not right. Our church last year, as you know, when we took on more missionaries and we gave our missionaries a raise, we now give about, I think, $12,000 a month, but we take in about $20,000 a month in our missionary giving. And I'm not telling you that so you can say, well, then you don't need my money. That's not it, because you know what we seek to do with the overage is we seek to give that to missions and be involved in that. And folks, we're getting ready in the next year or in the next few months to embark on something we've never done as a church before, and that is send two of our families out to start a local New Testament church in Tabor, Alberta, and that's going to cost some money. But that's exciting because we're going to help establish a lighthouse to the glory of God, a permanent place, a soul-winning center to see souls saved on an ongoing basis. And we're already getting some feedback from families out that way waiting for the church to get started. I've got two emails sitting on my desk. Pretty exciting. The promise. And what we see here, if you look at your faith promise commitment card, is you see here that there's no place for your name. None whatsoever. If you see this card, you'll see that on the back portion of it, it says, in dependence upon God, I will give each week to world evangelism through the Pimento Valley Baptist Church, and it has a box you can check, or if God lays another amount on your heart, you can give that. He says, I understand that I will not be billed for this. It is a faith commitment between me and God, and then all we ask is your age. I mean, if a four-year-old puts down $100 a week, I don't think we're going to count that. But if a 50-year-old does it, we may count that. And that gives us an idea of what we can expect for the coming years so that we know what we can do for worldwide evangelism. And that's how we run the program. And this would be for your records right here so that you would have that amount down. And like I said, one of the things about a message like this as believers is you don't have to get involved in this. This is something that I trust you'll see the grace and the opportunity to be involved in reaching our world for Christ in this method, and that you'll want to get involved. It might be that you'll have to go through one less time through Tim Hortons drive-thru. But then again, God may give you enough to where you can keep doing that. You have the faith, you have the promise, and then number three, the mission. This is an offering to help the cause of missions around the world. Look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. It says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Go to chapter 10, if you would. Verse 14. He says, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. And so we see to the regions beyond you. And so this church has much to do, and we need to be about the business of doing it. I don't think for one minute that our church has grown and been blessed the way we have so that we could glory in ourselves. I think He's raised this church up for a purpose, and that purpose is to send men and women out to establish other local New Testament churches and to use our resources so that we could help other people in God's work. I believe that. I believe if he blesses like that, there's a purpose. And I just happen to believe, and I know we do, we have a lot of people who have a heart for God. And then lastly, an offering. As I mentioned, this is a separate from our tithe. This is separate from our tithe. This is separate from our other giving. This is missions giving. And I just listed some things real quick like here that really I think is critical in light of this offering. Number one, you're to give yourself. You see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You see, if God has all of you, then he has your money. So money's not an issue anymore. Your possessions are not an issue anymore, you see. So you give yourself, number one. Number two, you pray. What would God have you do? And you see prayer all throughout these three chapters. Number three, you are to encourage each other in this grace. Verse 7 says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, and he goes on and he lists these things, and I believe, folks, we are blessed people here. And he says this. He says, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. In other words, don't stop now in your spiritual growth. And then you're to give. Verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And then you're to give through the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, it talks about that you're to give the first day of the week. And that's another thing that just goes and flies in the face of the Seventh-day Adventists. First day of the week is Sunday. That should end the discussion right there. But anyway, that's just a sideline. But he says that you're to give there through the local church. And you see in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 18 and 19, it says, and we have sent with him, the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Let's go here to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 8, Paul says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And that's what any missionary can say. We get behind our missionaries now for about $125 a month, and then they go to another church and they find that when the Rays were with us just last month, they said they were at about 92% of their support, but they've got a lot of other churches behind them giving them to that particular percentage. And so, in essence, when they go to China, they can then say, as they get a congregation together, look, we've robbed other churches in that light. We've taken their money to do you service. You see, that's what missions is all about. And that's what we give towards. So you are to give through the church. And what happens is we all get the glory from the giving, as well as the Lord gets the glory through his church. Because we're all one. We're all one body. See, what some people like to do, they don't like to play with the program. They want to pat on the back themselves. They want to slip that money in somebody's hand. And I'm not trying to stop you from, if you feel led to slip some money to someone, that's fine. But what I am saying is God says you're to work through the local church. And that way, all of us, I put my dollar in there, you put your $10 in there, somebody else puts $20, and we pull that together, and then we can say, hey, I might not be able to support all 62 missionaries that our church supports, but I tell you what, all of us together can. All of us together can. And then what happens is we get a prayer letter, and you know what they're saying? They're thanking the church. You have a part in that. That's good. And then you are to give out of what you have, not what you hope to have, trusting God to meet your needs. And of course, we mentioned that from verse 11 of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, where it says these words, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. And then, number 7, you are to give cheerfully, not grudgingly or of necessity. In other words, this is an offering you don't have to participate in. He doesn't want you to say, oh, I got to give again. Man, they're always passing that plate. I better give. No, he doesn't want that. Don't you give to Faith Promise Missions that way. You don't have to do it grudgingly. And you don't have to do it. No one's going to come knocking on your door. I remember in the early days starting the church, I remember somebody showed me. They started coming to church here, and I was visiting in their house and sitting there in their living room, and they showed me the bill from their church. I said, you'll never get a bill from Pimlico Valley Baptist Church. Never. And you'll never get a bill from the church here or any, because we won't know what your faith promise is. That's between you and God. And you commit in the privacy of your heart, maybe with your wife or your husband, and then you give that amount. And that's as far as it goes. That's between you and God. In verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says this, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And lastly, you are to be thankful for the opportunity to give. Not everybody can give like you can give. And so you and I ought to be thankful for it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 11 and 12, it says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. You stop and think. A missionary goes to the field, and someone gets saved. And that soul that gets saved gets on his knees at night and thanks God for so great salvation. That's what that verse is talking about. He's just saying, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. I encourage you to take a walk in the fellowship hall. And just go from missionary to missionary and read those prayer letters. And maybe just count some of the souls that have been saved. And that's what it's all about. Somebody brought us the gospel. Somebody is bringing them the gospel. And we want to do more. We want to do more this year than we've ever done before. Amen? Faith, promise, mission, offering. That's what that card is all about. So here's what we're going to ask you to do. We're not going to pass the plate tonight. We've not really emphasized it like we have in previous years, but I don't want to be negligent in the matter either. I want you to pray. And I want you to ask God what He would have you do. And if He leads you to get involved in this, get involved in it. You know, He says, prove me now herewith. Our God is up to the test. He's given us an opportunity. Let's take it. And what we'll do is if you have your cards and you want to give those to an usher, or as the offering plate is passed next Wednesday or next Sunday, then you put that in there. But let's just see what God will do for world evangelization through Pimlico Valley Baptist Church in the next year. Amen? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. Different kind of a message for us tonight, I realize. But I believe an important one. What we do in the next couple of weeks with our faith promise may make the difference for all eternity for somebody. That's how important this is. All I'm asking you to do right now is pray about it. Just pray about it.